Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Some 50 years ago, Alvin Toffler wrote a book called Future Shock. He presented an idea that a society would emerge where genders would disappear, that same-sex marriages would be common. And now, 50 years later, here we are. This subjective postmodern world in which we live forces us to have a greater appreciation for the Word of God, for what Scripture says. There you'll find the words of your Creator. You consider carefully the differentiations and the lines drawn that God Himself put there. Evangelical scholar Francis Schaeffer wrote a book called How Should We Then Live? He described how major cultural shifts had taken place, and these would prompt believers to determine, do we really belong to this world or another world? The French philosopher Blaise Pascal termed this higher world the order of holiness. We are called to a higher order. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and all of this week on Daily Devotion, we're talking about facets and principles that would enhance your daily life. If holiness is a higher order, what does it mean? The word holy in one form or another appears over 500 times in the Bible. God is holy. He gives us His Holy Spirit to sanctify us, in other words, to make us holy, to call us into a higher order. We are called to become like Jesus. We are called to be holy, 1 Corinthians 1:2. The power to do this is not of the flesh. It's not willpower, but it's Christ in you and me. Our role is to cooperate with His Spirit, where we can be changed from glory to glory. But we have to let this change happen in our life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How does God bring about this change in us? The Apostle John gives insightful counsel in 1 John 2. He said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world's passing away and the lust of it, but if you do the will of God, you're going to abide forever. Two loves are contrasted here, the love of the world and the love of the Father. These two loves, we could say, go all the way back to the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Eat of the one that looks good, feels right, appeals to you, and you will perish. Eat of the one that God approves, and you will abide forever. We either choose man's way, the world's way, or God's way. We either love the world or love God. Had Adam and Eve never eaten from the wrong tree, they would still to this day be in paradise. The higher order, then, is obtained through loving obedience to our Heavenly Father and not following after our own willful ways. Like Enoch, we have to choose to be closer to Him and farther from our world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out and be separate. It's interesting to me that one of the first works of creation, God began to divide things. In the first day, He divided light from darkness. The second day, He separated the atmosphere from the earth's waters. The third day, God separated the dry land from the water. The fourth day, God divided the work of the sun and the work of the moon. The fifth day, God separated the environments of aquatic life and terrestrial life. Sixth day, God separated male from female. At the outset of the Bible, the creation story, you see God in His divisive work, separating light and darkness. He concludes that work by separating the sexes, male and female. The separation of the sexes did not originate with man, but with God. In salvation, God also separates. He calls us from the world's darkness into his marvelous light. Our identity, lifestyle, calling, they're all wrapped up as children of light. He separates us from the darkness and brings us into this marvelous light. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. You're not of the night. You're not of darkness. I'm reminded when God separated the children of Israel and Goshen from the people of Egypt. When the plague of darkness came against Egypt, we read in Exodus 10, but there was light in Goshen. God clearly illuminated the difference between the people who loved the world and those who loved God. Obvious blessings come upon those who put God first. Separation. Let me tell you what it's not. Separation is not judgmental superiority. Separation is not joining an exclusive self-righteous group who's ready to drop the hammer on any deviation from their expectations. It does more harm than good. These self-righteous people, they harm others. They harm the cause of Christ. Ultimately, they harm themselves. They deceive themselves, thinking themselves to be better than others. Spiritual pride is the nastiest form of pride. Separation from the world is not being ignorant about what happens in the world. Some would say that the child of God has no business reading anything but the Bible and being anywhere but the church. Separation from the world is not refusing all association with those who aren't saved. Separation is not isolation. Church is a welcoming place where everyone is at one level of change or another. Here the wheat grows with the tares, and God sorts it all out in the final harvest. Separation from the world is not making a spectacle of yourself by your behavior, your words, your appearance. Scripture says that the Pharisees made their tassels long and their phylacteries wide so to be seen of men. Sanctification is not being sanctimonious, trying to show our unworldliness by acting super holy in our appearance. That doesn't please God. That only impresses self. Separation from the world isn't legalism. It's the freedom to choose to follow Jesus. We operate from biblical precepts and principles. We have seen what separation is not, but what is it? What is separation? In the New Testament, we find a church in the Greek city of Thessalonica that believed Jesus was coming back at any moment. Paul complimented them for this belief, but told them to focus as well on living in the present. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Paul said that we should be made holy in every way. So that must mean in our emotions, our thoughts, our attitudes, our lifestyles, our dress, our bodies, our appearance. Paul saw a process that would change people from within and without and without and within, not just a superficial, but involving body, soul, and spirit. Separation then is a full court press. It doesn't involve a part of us, but all of us. Let's look at some of the elements of separation. Separation is choosing God's way. When I said that this week we're talking about enhancing your effectiveness, I think this enhances us to a degree unimaginable, choosing God's way. The rule of the majority might be democracy, but it's not spirituality. It's the nature of people to go along with the crowd, to stay in step with what others are doing, to be like the world. The child of God cannot be content with that. He or she will ask, what does God's word say about this? Do you want to follow the low road or the high road? We are seeking the higher order. Separation is refusing man's way. While in a strange land far from home and family, Daniel made time for communion with God. Even though he was busy, important, he found time each day to call on the Lord. We too must not allow the mundane cares of this life to swallow up our constant reaching to heaven. A godly person will resist the world by making those tiny decisions to keep God first in every way and every day of his life. Separation is walking in the light. This is a difficult subject, but one that each of us should address in an honest manner with ourselves. This world is a place of darkness in which the God of this world, Satan, rules supreme. We have to walk in the light and not in the shades of gray and darkness. Separation is modesty. Paul was adamant that men should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands free from wrath and doubt. To Paul, it seems that a separated life for mankind was at least partly found in not going along to get along, but in proclaiming his faith while holding his temper. Also for women, he spoke of appearance and of apparel. Since you and I are created differently, since both man and woman fell in the garden, how temptations manifest themselves can differ by personality, by gender. Be modest. Be separate from this world. Separation is consistent with God-given gender. A few years back, this was a given, but not any longer. The same God who separated the sexes intends for us to glorify him through our gender. What does that mean? Well, at least partly, it means identifying with the gender chosen by God. Men should be men, women, women. Separation is also being careful with our associations. Paul said that unless we leave this world, we can't help but have some association with the people of this world. We need to treat everyone with courtesy and kindness. Yet acquaintance is one thing, intimate friendships are another. Paul teaches that believers should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Back when I spoke on teen abstinence a lot, I told tens of thousands of teens through the year, you can't choose who you will fall in love with, so you carefully choose who you date. Choose people that are of the faith, that love God. A person is known and influenced by the company they keep. Solomon said that if we walk with the wise, we will grow wise. But if we are a companion of fools, we will suffer harm. Separation? It's transformation. The temple of God had outer courts and inner courts. And the closer you come to God's presence in the temple, the more separated you had to become. Moses said in Leviticus 16:12 that the sweet incense was within the veil. To step into the sweet presence of God, one had to worship in a holy, separated manner. The exterior of Moses' tabernacle was covered with badger or porpoise skins. The exterior was functional, but not beautiful. But when you stepped within, you saw the gold and precious things. That was the meaning of what Simon Peter said. Our holiness is not just outward adorning, but it's the inward man of the heart. It's reflecting who he is and what he does in our lives. You can step into the higher order without portraying moral superiority to others. Change is possible. Step out of the shadows into the light.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.